Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andrew Brandt, the columnist for the MMQB, Business of Sports podcast, of course, down at Villanova as well. And he tweeted out what I was going to talk to him about was that he figures it's inevitable that the Eagles at 8-8 will win the division anyway, and that no matter how badly they'll play, they'll be 8-8. But we got to get to the Shaw thing, too. So let's start with the breaking news of the afternoon. Then we'll get to those Eagles. NFL suspending Josh Shaw, the Cardinals, for betting on NFL games. He was on the IR and is on the IR, but now cannot get back in the league until 2021. He'll have a disciplinary hearing in February of 2021. And Andrew, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us on The Fan.
Yeah, Chris, always a pleasure, and happy holidays to everyone out there. This is a breaking story that, you know, I probably more than most people find fascinating because I cover the business of sports and the business of the NFL. And the business of the NFL is very affected by sports betting the last couple of years. Just to give quick history, the NFL fought this forever. Gambling's always been taboo. But the Supreme Court changed things, even though the NFL fought this in court. New Jersey won. Chris Christie won the case at the ultimate arbiter, and that was the Supreme Court of the United States. So they basically allowed for legalized sports betting state by state. And as we sit here today, a year and a half from that decision, we probably have 10 states fully legal, including New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and others, and states like New York on their way. With that backdrop, you have leagues embracing it to some extent, where they've got deals with the fantasy companies like FanDuel and DraftKings, where they have deals in with MGM and Caesars is the NFL's deal, and where they have teams in Vegas like the NHL and now the NFL. But beyond all this is, what about the players? And based on what we just saw breaking news an hour ago, is that the players are still subject to the rules of no betting, no legalized betting for them, because they operate under the NFL law rather than the state law. So even if they're in states where they allow legalized gambling, that's not going to work for the players.
You think does it make sense to you? In other words, you would think guys could get around this if they wanted to really bet on football, that they could have, you know, I mean, it's just like insider trading. It seems like it's so hard, and we don't know how Joshua was caught.
Right.
But I mean, is this a big deal going forward, or is this a message, hey, here's our poster child, we're not kidding around, you want to do this, this is what's going to happen to you. So here it is, and here's how clear it is, and don't say we didn't tell you.
Well, there's, you know, we go back to Pete Rose, for people who can remember, you know, was suspended for life, banished basically from the game for betting on baseball, and it later came out he was betting on his own team. And I think it was all betting on his own team, just to be clear. He never bet against his own team.
No, never, ever really even suggested. Nobody ever really even suggested that he bet against his team.
Yeah, and here, what we're seeing from the release, which is not a lot, is that he bet on NFL games with no mention of Cardinals games. But you're right. This has to be sent as a message. It's an indefinite suspension, at least through the year. So this is something where players have to, if they're thinking about it, they got to stay away, because I think this will be talked about in locker rooms. There's going to be no issue in terms of the name of the player. People are trying to figure out who he is to begin with, but they must have good evidence. I mean, listen, they must really know something about his betting to do this. And like you said, it's not a big name, but it's going to send a message across the bow to NFL players.
All right, let's get to the football aspect of football. And we watched some yesterday. The Cowboys, again, disappointing. Again, you know, the Jason Garrett stuff coming up, bubbling under the surface. NFC East kind of a mess with teams pretending they're good or seeming like they should be, but not showing the results that make it seem obvious to anybody that they really are good. What are your thoughts right now about this goofy NFC East? A very prideful division in the past with proud owners and big cities. Now they can't seem to find their own way in recent years.
I'm coming up your way tomorrow. I'm going to see the Packers and Giants tomorrow, which looked like going to be a great game at one point in history, but now the Giants have really fallen off. I think that, and I'm living in Philadelphia area, and there's so much negativity about the Eagles for their two bad performances last 2 weeks, but I've favored them to win the division for quite a while because I don't believe in anyone else, including the Cowboys. I just think there's something with that team. They move the ball up and down the field, but they can't get the key conversions, and they can't get the key stops. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know what it is, but there's something missing with that team. I think Eagles will round into form based primarily on their schedule, where they play 3-2-9 teams coming up. So we'll see. I mean, this is, you know, what's going to happen, as you suggest, is one of those teams has to win the division, and they may win it at 8-8.
Yeah, isn't it the truth? Somebody's got to win. That's the way they set it up.
What's going to be crazy is that Seattle or Minnesota is going to come into Philly or Dallas in the first round at like a 13-3 record against an 8-8 team on the road. It's just amazing how that's going to work out.
Yeah, and it's just the way it works out. We're talking to Andrew Brandt on the NFL, discussing the disappointing NFC East. You said you're coming up for the Packers and the Giants. What do you make of the Giants, and how, when you're down like this, and the Jets seem to have climbed out of it a little bit against the weak part of their schedule, but these two teams, as you know, a little north of you down there in Philadelphia, you're watching year in, year out, an awful lot of disappointment and an awful lot of meaningless December football. In other words, they found a way, even in this league, to fall out of it before they got to the month of December in, you know, 4 or 5 of the last 6 years for both teams. So it's really been a downtime. How hard is it to climb out of it when you're in this negative state that these two local teams in New York are in?
Yeah, and listen, having run the Packers for 10 years, I admit to being spoiled, completely spoiled, because other than the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, we had a seamless transition between two franchise quarterbacks. Never, ever happens, ever.
Right.
And that's really the only way to avoid the downturn. You know, you can stay relevant, but to avoid the downturn that you talked about that every franchise goes through, you've got to transition from one franchise quarterback to another. We did in Green Bay. They did in Indianapolis, but that's it. And so, you know, if you look at those two teams, they're a year apart in terms of transitioning to the new quarterback, and the Jets are probably ahead of the Giants because of the year development of Darnold. And I think it's too soon to say if they definitely have the guy, but you've seen moments in both those players, Darnold and Jones, to say, yeah, they've got the guy. And even in Green Bay, when we had, I think it was, we were 7-9, maybe even 8-8 in Aaron's first year as a starter, we felt really good. You know, like, we got the guy.
Right.
So we're not in the playoffs this year, but we got the guy. And I think the Jets have some of that. You know, the Jets went out and spent a lot on free agency. I don't know how they feel about that. It's probably not good, because when you spend that much in the offseason, you're looking for more of a win-now approach. The Giants, you know, I think they probably should have made that move before the season, as hard as it would have been to bench Eli. But just get it going, you know.
Yeah, they have the most of their cap space caught up in a player that they hope doesn't play. So that clearly doesn't make any sense.
Well, and they got a lot of cap space on a guy named Beckham, too.
Yep. Yeah.
Doesn't help.
Yeah.
But they'll clean all that out next year, we assume, even on Eli, and they'll have a lot to reframe it.
And we have seen, you know, the frustrating thing, I think, for the New York fans is that we have seen Andy Reid turn Kansas City around in 1 year. We've seen teams, even the Cowboys went 4-12 and then 12-4 off of the Romo injury and all that and coming right back. We've seen teams quickly rebound. Now, maybe it's not sustainable, but we've seen them rebound. These two teams right now are just, you know, they're just down and out. And as I said, you get to December around here and football season's over seemingly every year recently.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I feel for the fans up there because it's, you know, fans are great and passionate, and that's what you want. You know, the worst thing for...
And the league, Andrew, the league is set up for you to bounce back, right? I mean, you know, you got eight divisions. You got eight first-place teams, eight second-place teams. You got higher draft picks if you finish poorly. You get a little break in the schedule. They do everything they can to make sure you're not down for long, and I think that part of it is really frustrating for fans.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's what I talk about or what I teach in my sports business and law classes at Villanova is this: the key to any sport is competitive balance, and all these rules are designed for competitive balance. Salary cap, where you have artificial restrictions on what you can spend to create a level playing field, and the draft.
Right.
The draft is inverse order. So it's made for teams to get better faster, but... Again, football is harder than basketball because of the number of players and the impact. But you're right. It shouldn't have these droughts that last this long.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to Andrew Brandt on the NFL. What are your thoughts about the league right now? We talked about the have-nots. Who in your mind are the haves besides the Patriots, which we could have had this discussion in 2005 or 8 or 11 or 14. It just goes on and on with them.
Yeah.
But everybody else, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think NFC's easy because you just talked about it. The lack of parity in the NFC is amazing. It's just that we basically have our playoffs set in terms of teams. We know the five teams, and then the Cowboys or Eagles. It's done. And we're not even in December. It's done.
Right.
The Bears aren't making it. The Rams aren't making it. So it's just like... There's no drama except for seeding in the NFC. And in the AFC, you know, there's going to be a team like the Raiders or the Titans or someone that's going to sneak in there and maybe get hot. But, you know, you mentioned it. It's the Patriots and it's the Ravens now who are the hottest thing on the block. But maybe, you know, we're not talking about Lamar next month like we are this month. We'll just see. But the Patriots seem to maintain that consistency. And the team that no one's talking about anymore is Kansas City. And you just know that they can explode any time. But I do worry about their defense.
How great is Lamar for the league?
Wonderful. And, you know, I'm obviously patting myself on the back. But I thought that was a great pickup to get into the first round. They traded in. To get Lamar, not only, you know, again, from a business point of view, not only you get the player, but you get the fifth-year option. So if he was a second-round pick, he'd be a four-year contract, and he'd be a free agent after four. But the fact that you get into the first round and get that pick, that's great on the Ravens.
And clearly, having gone through this, you know how easy it was to doubt whether he could stay healthy playing at this level. And I'm sure there are people every week that think this is, you know, every play they're worried because that's the nature of having a player like that. But, man, what an entertainer, huh?
Yeah, I mean, again, when I moved back to Philly, I helped out the Eagles, and one of the guys we brought in, at that time a third-string quarterback named Michael Vick, coming out of Leavenworth Prison, and, you know, there's the comparison. I mean, the electricity at that position we'd never seen. Even with Vic. Now, Vic was nothing we'd ever seen before at that time. And, you know, I think that people are going to say it'll never last, and that's really sort of the old bromide about playing the position that way. But he does seem more angular than other players that have gotten hurt. He does seem like his ability to take hits better. So we'll see. I mean, again, we're going to sit here in 5 years and see if Lamar Jackson is doing what he's doing.
What are your thoughts, Andrew, on the Kaepernick situation? And is that something that goes into your business of sports class and is kicked around? And what do your students think? I think it's a fascinating story in the overall scheme, but I don't know where it's headed.
Yeah, and I just wrote about it for Sports Illustrated in terms of the workout that was botched. Listen, there are a lot to unpack here, but basically Colin Kaepernick took his ball from the NFL-created workout and went to his own workout because he didn't like the terms and conditions of the NFL workout. Now, you can admire his ability to sort of be his own guy, but from a former agent point of view and team point of view, I'm looking at it, well, he had 25 teams, at least we were told, and that reduced to 7 teams. So he may feel good, but he went in front of seven teams instead of 25. And it's kind of a feeling like, you know, the leverage is just not his. If he wants to get a job, he does the workout the way they asked him to do the workout. So I feel for him. I admire him. But I feel for his job prospects because I just think after 3 years, it's not happening. It is not happening for him.
Did you legitimately think, or do you legitimately think, that he wants to work, that he wants to be in the NFL, and it wasn't some kind of a setup for future litigation or some other off-field opportunity that might come his way and another opportunity to point a finger at the league and say, see, they don't want
me? I think it's not mutually exclusive that he can want to be a football player and want to be an activist. And a lot of people want to put it in one or the other box. I don't believe that. But I do think then you get down to the basic feeling of talent. And the feeling I've talked to NFL people about is that he is a backup. So he's not going to come into any team and really say, here's your starting job. So for a team to take on a backup with other stuff around him is tough. If he was a starter, they would accept the other stuff. But pick a name, Eric Reed, Malcolm Jenkins. But they don't because he's a backup player right now. And we can debate that, but that's how he's seen.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem with that, really. I think it's sort of fascinating to watch the whole thing play out and see what angle each side has. How do you think that whole thing came about from Tuesday to Saturday from a business standpoint and your thoughts about it from the league standpoint? How did we get to that workout being scheduled to begin with?
Yeah, that's the mystery because I said this many times. I've been around the NFL 25 years. I've never, ever, not once, seen the NFL set up a workout for a player. They've set up combine workouts for 300 players. And teams set up workouts. Agents set up workouts. I've never seen a league set up a workout for an individual player. So something's going on there that we don't know. And then, of course, it had to be so fast. And I'm like, where's the fire? You know what? We could do that workout in January, February, March, April, May. I mean, he's not going to get signed for 2019. So I just didn't get it. I still don't get it. I wonder what the backstory is. And then, of course, they wanted to sign away some rights, and it was all, again, you never send teams or the player to a workout without the legal side buttoned up, and it was clearly not.
Somehow I think you'll continue to endeavor to find out what happened there.
Yes.
And eventually you will. Andrew, let me close with this. Mike McCarthy, what do you think his future is?
You know, I talked to the Jets in January about Mike. And they were considering him. They went with Adam Gase. But again, I'm biased because I was there with him. I hired him 13 years ago. But I just think that, you know, when you start lining up who the coach candidates are, the skins on the wall is going to be important, in meaning Mike's won it. And he's been to the NFC Championship, and, of course, he's won the Super Bowl. So I think he's got an opportunity ahead. I don't know where, but somewhere.
You surprised he's not coaching right now?
Well, I think it was kind of limited to the Jets last year, and when it went to Gase, you know, I wasn't surprised. But and also I know he's got young children and enjoying them this year.
But you think he has every intention if the opportunity presents itself to coach again? Is that what
I think so? Yes.
Guess would be very good. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks so much. Enjoy your trip up here. Hopefully the weather cooperates and you have a good game on Sunday.
All right. Good
there
to
you
talk.
Go. There, thanks, Andrew Brandt, joining us, former Packer executive, of course, and now professor at Villanova. Writes for MMQB. Writes for Sports Illustrated. He, like many in the media industry these days, has his pen and a lot of inkwells to try to figure out, you know, the best way to work and get an opportunity to express himself, and people take advantage of that. So it's good. Had some good insight there. I wonder about Mike McCarthy. I don't know where Mike McCarthy is headed or what the opportunities will be for him. But as you heard Andrew say, he does think that he wants to coach again, even with the young children, that he will have the opportunity perhaps to get back out there and coach again. And you would think there will be plenty, as there generally are after Black Monday, generally opportunities out there for experienced coaches who want to keep coaching, especially as Andrew just said, if you've won.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.